What's up, partner?
What up, my friend?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You know what I'm saying? Watching the draft, man. We could talk about it later, but I am yeah, I'm a I don't know what the word is, but it's been a funny draft for me. I ain't gonna lie. It's been a funny
Oh.
draft for me, and you'll find out how it was a funny draft for you too. So
I just saw who the Bulls picked, and I go, oh, I'm well. Put a pin in that, get back to that later. Because I'm already just like, am I allowed to be kind of happy about it? But I'm not gonna go there because the Bulls are the Bulls and the Pistons are the Pistons. But yes, other than that, in our personal lives, how is everything going?
Oh man, shit, can't complain. It's been slow motion, man. It's just, I mean, slow motion is better than no motion, but
Absolutely.
it's just, some days I just feel like I'm working, doing my thing, and then it's like, oh shit, it's already time to go to sleep.
Seriously, it just
Yeah.
flies by, man.
So, man, I don't know, man. I've just been trying to take things slow.
It's good. I'm doing the same thing, man. It's a couple weeks now, since the funeral and everything. So every day I just kind of find myself just taking that extra beat, just from out with the family, just appreciating the moment a little bit more, trying to do
Yeah.
more things. But honestly, the day-to-day shit ain't changed. I'm still like in this weird summer mode where I don't want to do anything, but I'm also constantly bombarded with activities. So it's a weird combo for me. I like being lazy and, kind of laying in the cut and everything. So this is like, what are we doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing tomorrow? I'm like, can I not be responsible for something for like 5 minutes just between work and being a dad, trying to do right by the wife, doing the shit for the home, keeping bills paid, trying to drink enough water during the day. It's just like a constant something. It's always something. I just need that chill time. So yeah, it's gonna be a long summer. Yeah, like the very first day of summer. Wasn't that like just this week? So I got a
Yeah.
long way to go here. It's
Yeah,
gonna
good
be a
luck,
rough
man.
one.
You got a whole 2 months.
Fucking hell, man. Like I'm already exhausted. Yeah, first day of summer was on the 20th. So happy summer, folks, and happy summer to you. I know this is your season.
Oh
This is
man, this is
when
my
you
time to
glow.
shine.
Yes,
Oh
sir.
yeah.
Literally shine these days. Weather's been really nice, and other than the thunderstorms and everything. So yeah, man, same old shit going on around here. Just trying to add to my wardrobe collection, as you can see. Got the new Chicago Sky shirt came in the mail. So shout out to our boys at Relish again, unofficial sponsor, but hooking me up again. Got this dope ass Angel Reese Camila Cardosa. That kind of duo on this shirt to go on my Michael Jordan shirt. A bear shirt. I'm trying to get some more. They just released one.
Wait,
I
who's
was
on your
gonna.
bear shirt?
So it is the skeleton of Justin Fields, but that's because it was marked down to like 15 bones for that shit. So I was like, I got to. I don't care. Anybody going number one on that team, it'll be doesn't even matter. So you can say it's Fields, but I'm not convinced it is. It might just be a typical, like a generic Bears player with a number one on it. So I mean, because technically now, if I'm not mistaken, that's Jalen Johnson. So just because he's holding a ball like a quarterback doesn't mean he's a quarterback.
I was gonna say, so he wears number one, looks like he's throwing the ball, but that's Jalen Johnson. Okay, who plays corner? Okay.
I'm going
Okay.
with it.
Okay. All right.
Who's if this? I live in Wisconsin, man. Who's gonna like say otherwise? Like, no one's gonna care that I'm gonna barely look at my shirt. But they just dropped one today. I was on the toilet before I got on this show, and like I got like alert, like bloop, like really just opened. What you call it? Premiered a new t-shirt, and I said, oh, cool. And this shit is like a collaboration with like the Beef, the original Italian beef place in Chicago. So they got a whole lineup of shirts coming out for that shit. I've been to the Beef, and that shit is like, it's Mr. Beef is what they call it out there. Mr. Beef is like the shit in Chicago. So like having a shirt with that, with the Relish brand, might be kind of fucking dope. So I might have some swag this summer, man. I'm trying not to shop so much, but it's tough. Fucking
I mean,
hard, man.
if you're stressed out dealing with all the other shit you got to deal with, you got to take care of yourself some way. So,
Maybe that's it. Maybe I need like a like shop therapy or something, or just just do some shit for myself.
yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm missing here a little bit. Because I was just like you said, you go just balls to the wall, and every day you work so much. I had to work all day today and shit. I'm just like, damn, man. Like it just you blink, and all of a sudden it's 5 p.m. and you're like, what the fuck did I do with my day? What the. What is going on? But yeah, man, that's summer for you. That's all summer is. I don't care what y'all say when you're younger. It's all fun and games. When you're an adult, summer sucks.
I fucking love summer. I love the Heat.
I can't, man. I can't, man. Yeah, it's too much for me.
I love the Heat. I love putting my sunroof down. I love, you know what I'm saying, having the windows down when I ride. I never turn on my AC. That's one thing about me.
Maybe because I've never had like a sunroof before. So maybe I'm not experiencing all the things that summer has to offer, which is why I don't like it so much. But all I've been dealing with in summer is fucking bees and sweat all fucking time. So miss me with all that shit. That's all summer can offer me. You can wake me up when fall's here, because fall is when the best shit happens. But I won't digress into that. People know how I feel about fall. I made that very clear on this fucking show. So we won't waste any more time on that shit.
Hey, you know what you could wake me up for, though? You can wake me up after the music plays to let me know when the show is going to start.
I can do that. Yes, let's start it now and get to the action, Jackson. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
So this is the Bank Bro Show. People know what they clicked on because we're in the same place as we always are. But welcome back. And if it's your first time seeing us, hearing us, even clicking play for the first time, thank you so much. We always appreciate that. And it's reciprocated. We love you right back. Hope you enjoy the show. For those newbies and for our vets, my name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy, as always. Another week in the books here. Kind of waiting for more sports to kick in now that the NBA is kind of wrapped up now. But as a man alluded to at the beginning, NBA draft going on right now as we speak to. Bulls already picked. When did the Pistons pick? What
number you guys got? Fifth.
You had fifth. We'll get into who you got later. But, yeah, it's going on right now. Before we get into the draft, though, because that's a big meaty topic, I wanted to shout out again to my shirt and speak about the women on this shirt and the women they played against just for a second, because – for a lot of people knowing this now, I can't even say living under a rock, because how could you at this point? The WNBA is on fire right now. It's the biggest. We've talked about it more these days than I've ever seen people talk about it, which is good and bad. You know, you want new fans for a sport, but also it's not like the WNBA is new. So where y'all been? They've had stars in there for a while, but I'm glad we're getting a lot of eyes on it, including my own. So I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. And clearly the ratings are agreeing with me because they're through the roof. And I'm not going to get into a big thing about is Caitlin Clark fully responsible for the ratings, because that's total bullshit. I think in general, women's basketball is just up, plain and simple. Oh, the personalities, the talent level has all taken a step up. And we talk about on the show how great that was for the future of the sport and how much of a fan that, you know, we've been for women's basketball, trying to champion the damn thing. This past weekend, Caitlin Clark, the supposed savior of women's basketball, and Angel Reese, one of my personal favorites, again on the t-shirt. Let's go, Angel. Let's go, Shy Barbie. They went head-to-head again. Sky Fever this Sunday. I think it was past Sunday or Saturday. I can't remember. But that had 2.3 million viewers. That is the most for a WNBA game since 2001. So this shit is crazy. Like, the ratings are in. People are loving what they're seeing. And just because Clark and I would argue Reese too are bringing in a lot of these fans, let's not be hasty about just crowning those two as the only stars here. There are plenty of stars in both these teams and, you know, this entire, you know, organization as it is. So really loving it. Angel and Camila Cardoso, as I mentioned, first rookie teammates to get 15 plus points and 10 plus rebounds in the same game since 1998. So, again, we talked about Chicago Sky having twin towers. Like, these two girls, you know, the record isn't there yet. I think they only got, like, 6 wins so far. Maybe 6-9, if I'm not mistaken.
But they're young.
They're young. They're getting better. You're seeing improvements already. Angel Reese by herself, 8 straight double-doubles for her. So, they're doing the work here. But I bring it up because, Caitlin Clark gets interviewed practically every hour of every day of her life these days. And she had an interview. Again, talk about Angel Reese, because it seems like these names are just going to be linked for probably their entire careers, the way we're going. But she brought up an interesting point that I wanted to get your opinion on. And I'm going to read the quote to you, because we talk about these two girls all the time. And, you know, especially since college and the big Iowa LSU game that happened, you know, the rivalry that was, quote unquote, simmering in college seems to have carried over, if not gotten even more intense. But, you know, people ask Caitlin about Angel all the time, and it seems like she's getting a little tired of it. I'm going to read to the quote she said, because someone asked about her feelings on her rivalry, quote unquote. And she said, "I'm pretty sure the only people that view this as a rivalry is all of you. Like, to us, it's just a game of basketball." And then later on, she added, you know, she's happy that both ladies help grow the fan bases and getting more eyes on the product and all that stuff. But she's thinking, like, the way you show that women's basketball is taking the next step is putting that game in bigger arenas. It's not necessarily about the players themselves. So my question for you is this. Do you agree with Caitlin that when she says, this isn't actually a rivalry, this is just women's basketball? Or do you feel she's kind of, like, downplaying a little bit and the rivalry is real, if not maybe as intense as we're making it out to be as a fan base? But do you think maybe the rivalry is actually existing and good for this? What do you think?
So I actually believe her. I don't think this is a rivalry at all. I think this is a story that the media is trying to run with, because there hasn't been a narrative that they could have ran with in the past when it came to women's basketball.
True.
And the way Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have been growing the game since they were in college, I mean, why wouldn't you run with the narrative, right? You know, you got the female Larry Bird and Magic Johnson rivalry going on. You know what I mean?
I'm so glad you brought that up. That was literally my notes. That's so what it was to me, too.
And this is considered the golden era for the WNBA. And yes, it was the golden era for the NBA back then with those OGs. But,
yes,
you know, I like to bring up one thing. Like, if this was an actual rivalry, I think these two players would have had played similar positions to where they actually had to go at each other. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark have never matched up against each other at any given point in a basketball game. Caitlin Clark was not being guarded by Angel Reese. Angel Reese was not being guarded by Caitlin Clark. So the whole rivalry thing is done there.
Mm.
LSU and what school did Caitlin Clark go to? Fuck.
Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Some white-ass school.
Dude, I always forget, too. It's a white-ass school.
I was going to say Indiana, but yeah, she plays for Indiana right now. Anyway, another white-ass town.
Right.
Anyway, the rivalry was more Iowa-LSU than it was Angel Reese-Caitlin Clark, in my opinion.
Mm.
It's just that those two players were the most well-known players, arguably the best players on the court, and so they just ran with that. So I think the media just needs to chill out sometimes and talk about the actual game and what goes on during the game. Like how Angel Reese has been a double-double machine to start her WNBA career.
Crazy.
And honestly, like, outside of the shooting percentage, which I expect will get better as she ages and becomes more mature as a player.
Yeah, just getting started.
Like, outside of that, she's been everything you could have asked for.
Absolutely agree.
I think the narrative around Angel Reese, like all the hate that she's getting, is really unwarranted.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, of course, like, hate's going to come with it. But at the end of the day, like, when she says she's a dog, she's an actual dog. Like, she actually is a dog. Like, she really is.
Mm-hmm.
A rookie like doing this, you know what I'm saying? Like, a rookie doing this in a grown woman's league. Like, I told you this from the start. Like, she's going to have one of the better starts to her careers because
you did
rebound, because she can get it on the offensive glass and put it back in and get her own buckets that way. Like, and she's doing it. And
you totally
she's not
called
surprising
that
me, but I think everyone else needs to see, like, yo, outside of all this bullshit off the court, like, on the court, she's actually nice.
Absolutely. And
I think that goes unseen because of all the bullshit.
A whole lot of bullshit out there. You brought up a point, though, that I do want to expand upon just a little bit, because I am curious. And I'm actually asking as an educational point, because yet you brought up Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, which in my opinion, I think this is the biggest comparison to these two that you could find. But I had the same thought. And you said, like, Angel and Caitlin really don't play against each other position-wise. Like, that's never a matchup. However, did Larry and Magic play against each other a lot? I know they were – that's one of the – if not – the greatest rivalry in basketball history. But I bring it up because Larry Bird and, you know, Angel Reese, both power forwards. Magic Johnson, Caitlin Clark, both point guards. So if we consider Magic and Larry as one of the all-time great rivalries and they were in those positions, do you think they played against each other enough to make that a rivalry versus the fact that these two don't play against each other? Or does that matter to you?
Well, technically, they don't play the same position. but the style of play.
Classified like it. Yeah. I know it's different now,
but the style of play, that like they dominated the ball for their teams for the most part. I know with Larry Bird wasn't all the time, but for the most part, when it mattered most, they were the ball. The balls in their hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's where they're similar.
I see. Okay. Because I saw the positions for that and I was like, it's pretty similar.
I guess what I meant to really say was Angel Reese is purely a post player.
I get you. Okay.
And Caitlin Clark, obviously, she's a guard. She handles the ball. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
They're never going to directly see each other on the basketball court unless there's a switch. And I don't really count that because no coach is saying you're guarding you at any time. You know what I
mean? That's true. Yeah.
Like Magic guarding Bird, did it happen occasionally? Yeah, it did actually.
Sure.
And then vice versa too. But like that's not as big of a difference as it is if Caitlin Clark is on Angel Reese and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Both
player and a guard.
Okay. That makes total sense then. And I knew when I saw that, I was like, well, we're talking like power forwards in the 80s, you know, 70s and 80s versus what a power forward even looks like today. They don't even really call them those anymore. Like, you're a forward, you're a guard. That's really about it. It's you took like five specific positions and made them into three general ones. So like that line of questioning and thinking, I get that. But I don't know. I'm of two minds of it. I do agree that the rivalry is overblown, especially because how are they this heated rivals in their first year? Like, it takes a while for us to look back and go, damn, that was a heated rivalry. Maybe a little bit of time, maybe a year or something. But I think if they lean into the rivalry, it's only going to help things. I almost feel like with Caitlin going out here saying, like, this isn't a rivalry and just shutting it down right away. Yeah, I get it's good for her mental because she's tired of hearing about it. But at the same time, I feel like she could just lean into a little bit more, like play up a little bit. And it's only because I say that because rivalries, in my opinion, are just amazing. Every sport needs it. That's what gets the casual fan to watch. And that is, you know, as much as she wants to focus on just ball, I'm sorry, if you're Caitlin Clark, and I'm not saying she asked for all this, but if you have this whole organization who is literally hanging on your every word, it's the same as like LeBron going out there and going like, I don't give a shit about Kevin Durant. Like, even if you don't really care about him, make it sound like he's your biggest threat. You got to sell the match.
You're on some WWE type shit.
As always. I brought up Chael Sonnen last week. It's the same. I respect that shit. If you're not going to be skill-wise a rivalry, at least market the shit. I'm all about making the money. It's a bank, bro, show, bro. Make some bank. But you look at MJ and Isaiah Thomas. Was that a rivalry? Fuck yeah. Even if it was lopsided.
It was MJ and the Pistons.
Yes, of course it was. But Thomas, he has the biggest beef with MJ, even this fucking day. So no,
he was a head honcho of the group. You feel me?
Yeah. Thomas, Patrick Ewing doesn't like MJ. So yeah, it was the Knicks and the Pistons, and MJ had rivalries with everybody. But I just can never imagine, like, what made the MJ rivalry so cool is that he actually still respected these players. It was like, yeah, he hated them. He wanted to bust their ass, but it's only because he respected them and how good they were. These two girls, I think, have the utmost respect for each other.
They do.
Why can't it be a friendly rivalry or something? But like Kareem and Wilt, LeBron and KD, MJ Thomas,
you one of them toxic motherfuckers, ain't you?
Absolutely. You should know that by now.
You one of them motherfuckers. Things are going too well. Let me fuck some shit up real quick.
Why do you think I'm watching the game all of a sudden? Because all of a sudden, all the narrative is like spicy shit. I love it. Sign me up for it. Because at the end of the day, it's not just basketball. As much as we want to be purists and say it's only about the game, this is a business, man. It's a spectacle. It's entertainment, too. I got to be entertained for me to be invested in it. So if you want me buying your shirts, I need a little spice. I need a little heat. And someone like – that's why I love Angel Reese already, because she don't give a fuck. Angel Reese is there to ball, where to make, collect checks, and she doesn't want to hear about none.
She's from fucking Baltimore.
And she plays like she's from Chicago. So, like, I dig that shit. I like, my athletes that have a little spice to them. So I like that. I need Caitlin to give me a little more spice. You're the head honcho right now.
Hey, man.
I mean, you're not.
Listen.
She's not because Asia Wilson still lives here. But
Caitlin Clark is grilled chicken breast. All right. We just going to have to leave her alone. She's going to be grilled chicken breast. There's That's no what she seasoning. Is. All right.
You're right, man. I need
See,
to.
like,
What's the state's
you
name?
know, Angel Reese, she better, you know, she came from LSU, so she got that jambalaya cooking. She, you know what I'm saying?
A
Like,
Cajun,
she'll
absolutely.
throw you some spices in her interviews every now and then. But Caitlin
Absolutely.
Clark, she's just gonna be that grilled chicken breast, no salt, no pepper, just right off the grill on your plate.
Oh no. That Iowa, Indiana cuisine. That's that taste of Delaware all over again.
With some mashed
Oh,
potatoes with no gravy.
man. And maybe that's if that's who she is, then I will leave her alone and just I'll focus on the sky and go from there. But Caitlin, come on, girl. Like I get it, but give us a little. Just I'm asking for a little salt and pepper. Not even Tabasco. Just a little salt and pepper. Just call Reese trash. Call her trash. Say you're better than her. I just want to hear it. Yeah, maybe I'm a little toxic. I probably should see somebody about that. It's only about sports. I'm only toxic about sports and how much I don't like Taylor Swift. But those are the only two things. Other than that, I'm pretty calm. But man, I need a little bit, a little toxicity, a little poison. I told you, I'm more of a poison type Pokemon. I was a Grimer. I was a Muk. So, that's my personality.
You were a wheezing. You
Yeah.
were.
I mean, after certain sponsor sticks, maybe. But in sports, it's just about the drama. I love the drama too, man. Gotta have a little bit. But that's all right. We'll see how it goes. I'm loving what they're putting on so far. And whether it's a rivalry or not, keep it on my TV, man. I want both these ladies to fucking shine. So let's fucking go. Next up, keeping it in the basketball realm, let's talk about for a second a big trade that happened. I need your thoughts on that one too, because everyone's freaking out in the New York region right now. The Brooklyn Nets decided to make a big, actually a couple big trades here. They're making moves right now and just cleaning house and loading the fuck up. But they traded their number one player, Mikal Bridges, got traded to the Knicks. So that's a rare, like, intra-New York trade. You don't really see that very often. Same state and everything. So Brooklyn and New York doing some business. And boy, oh boy, I mean, the package that the Knicks gave for this guy is insane to me. And I mean, it's this fucker here. Because I like Bridges a lot. I think he's one of the best 3-and-D players in this entire league. I like what he does. The guy is durable. He hasn't missed a fucking game in his career. So durability, he's still pretty young. Was he 27? So like he's got some real skill to add to New York. And we'll get the fun side of New York there for a second, in just a minute here. But yeah, Bogdanovich, which you were already like, he can go anyway. 5 first-round picks. And then the Nets also made like a trade swap, like a pick swap with the Houston Rockets. So now the Nets have so many fucking first-round picks over the next like 7 years. I think it's 16 first-round picks over the next 7 years. They have 4 first-round picks just next year. And next year's draft, everyone's saying it's probably the best in a long time. So Nets are looking real fucking good right now when it comes to their potential. If they're facing a rebuild, this is the best way to rebuild. It's just load the fuck up on your draft capital. And they got like what? Like $90 million in cap they can use too. So like they can pay their players, they can lock up whoever they get, they can pick, they can combine some of these and get a star. There's a couple out there right now that could be looking. So I'm liking what the Nets are doing, and I'm gonna ask you about them in a second, but I wanna focus on the Knicks for a second, because last year I gave the Knicks a lot of shit. They did what they did in the playoffs, didn't make it too far, it was fine. This year, I saw the next step. I saw Jalen Brunson take the next step as a superstar. The guy's a fucking animal on the court. So I have earned a little respect from them. So that's I'm sorry. They have earned a little respect from me. I'll put it that way. I want to know what you think Bridges adds to this, because now people are calling them the Nova Knicks. Because New York already had Villanova people. They already had, Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo. Like, those guys were all from Villanova. Bridges is also a Villanova guy. So New York is just collecting all the Villanova guys. And now these four have reunited. I want to know what's the impact. Grade the trade. And is this enough for the Knicks to take a next step next year?
Okay, so for the Knicks, getting Mikal Bridges, what it does first and foremost is boost the chemistry, boost whatever they got going on in the locker room. Like,
Through the
it's
roof.
on 1,000 now. I'm talking about these dudes was already in group chats together before they
Right.
got drafted, before
Right.
they even got drafted into the NBA. They were in group chats together. They were kicking it together, hanging out. playing ball together at Villanova. So they're very familiar with each other. You can tell they've stayed tight over the years because every time they finished playing a game against each other, every time New York was smacked, the Knicks was smacked the Nets. You know what I'm saying? Mikal Bridges walk over there sad as a bitch, and them three saying like, damn, we need to get your bitch ass over on our side so you can experience what it feels like to win. And that's my next point. Mikal Bridges, if you rewind his career, he's experienced winning at the highest level in the toughest conference in the NBA already. Mm. He's gone to the finals with the Phoenix Suns. He started losing because he went to a trash-ass Nets team that was rebuilding from Kyrie and KD and James Harden. So all he's going to add to that Knicks team outside of the chemistry on the basketball court, he's going to add defensive versatility. He's going to add three-point shooting, which they desperately needed.
Woo, yes.
Not only that, but I think his mid-range shot creation, that little fadeaway he does in the mid-range, very underrated.
Mm.
Mikal Bridges, I don't know if I've mentioned it on this show at all. I may have, but Mikal Bridges is one of my favorite players to watch because I love the way he plays. He's very unselfish with the way he plays. He's very smart on both ends of the court, and he plays on both ends of the court. And I think him alongside OG Anunoby, like, they got some of the best defenders on the wing in the NBA.
Mm.
And does this put – your second question was, does this put the Knicks over the top?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What is the next step?
Next step. What's the next step you'd say for the Knicks?
Whenever I go next step, I just say one round later than you ended. So what were they, second round this year?
So
they
got out? Finals?
Conference finals.
Conference finals. It puts them in the conversation.
Okay. That's fair.
It's just, I feel like when they, if they were to draw a team like Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee poses a big problem for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's Giannis.
Woo!
Because like with the Knicks, they have like a bunch of like wings, right? Outside of Jalen Brunson, they have a bunch of like wing size players, like 6'7", 6'8", 6'5", right, type players. And then they have their center. They have no in-between. I guess Julius Randle would be their tween guy. He's like 6'8". But yeah, that, you know what I'm saying? But like, Giannis is going to have his way. So it all depends on who the matchups are. But it definitely puts them in the conversation. Are they a lock? I would say no.
Gotcha.
And I still believe the Boston Celtics take care of them in, like, five games.
Mm. Okay. I think it's fair, too. And I would actually agree with all of that. I do think that I do like the trade overall. I think the value – now, here's the thing. I always have – and I've said this, I think this time last year at the draft, or maybe it was the NFL draft, I can't fucking remember. But when people start trading all these like 2029, 2020, 2031 draft picks, first round draft picks, I go, does that really matter? How many times is that going to change hands between now and then? But when you have so many that the Nets are doing right now, I get it. I feel this package is humongous. That's what she said. But for Bridges, I guess you have to make that move. I really don't see who else you get that level who can provide the defense in a three-point shooting like that.
You got to think about it, though. Those first-round picks, the Knicks are assuming those first-round picks that they're trading are going to be in the late 20s.
Yeah, assuming.
So
yes.
those picks, Knicks aren't that valuable because they're trying to win right now. They got a bunch of guys in their mid-20s, early 30s. You know, those guys are veterans. They're ready to win now. And I feel like they do need one more piece.
Yeah, I think so. But they're almost there.
But yeah, like they're a very good team and they are a force in the East. One injury, they could be in the finals.
Right.
Like, and the way an opposing team.
Yeah. And the way these players are getting paid these days, like, I get it too. Like, if you're going to make a move like that, and you could just give up some draft capital for it. Like, I get it. Go with the evil you know. So, yeah, I do think it does put him in the conversation, but like, it's still the East, it's still the Knicks. I mean, I can respect them more than I did last year, but yeah, we gotta get something else. And I've seen, you know, even the Knicks already locked up OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby is going to get paid. I know we gotta wait for the period to start, but he's already kind of like verbally committed to it too. So like, you know, they're clearly trying to like lock in that core. And now, you know, with Bridges, Knicks are gonna be fucking deep. So
yeah.
As you just saw the Celtics do, you know, deep wins championships these days. So we talked about that with the Bucks too. When they were deep, they won a championship. I think the Knicks found the blueprint. It's just putting it together. Can everybody stay healthy? And can Bridges – I'm not worried about a chemistry thing with Bridges here, clearly. Like, he'll be fine. It's not like when Luka and Kyrie got together, I go, is that going to work? Yeah. Even I even had the side eye when the Bucks got Lillard. I said, is Dame and Giannis going to work? We'll see. And again, mixed results. I'm not worried about that with these guys. I think they're going to pick up right where they left off from Villanova. But is that enough in the NBA? Is that starting lineup as lethal as Boston? So I don't know. That I don't know about. But what I do want to know, let's switch gears. If you're the Nets, now that you've got all, like, the treasure chest is full, what's next? What do you do? Because clearly they're not done here. I think they are. There's been talk all day, like, Ben Simmons is on the block, Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, these are players. They're trying to unload this fucking team and just tear it down to the studs and start over. So if you're the Nets, what do you do next if it's you with all these picks?
I do exactly what you just said. I keep trading. I keep trying to get rid of all these guys that are aging and just taking up cap space, and knowing that I'm going to be in a full rebuild. When you trade Mikal Bridges, your best player, who was just 27 years old, that sends a message to the rest of your team.
Right.
And it says, all you guys are expendable. So I'm going down the line. Cam Johnson, I'm trading him. I'm trading Ben Simmons. I'm trading. Even if I can only give fucking a second round pick at this point for Ben Simmons, I'm saying fuck it. I'll take it. Fuck it.
Yeah. So, I don't blame you.
But no, I think this was a good trade for both sides. Knicks, I mean, not the Knicks, the Nets were going to be stuck in limbo for a long time.
Yeah.
This core. And I'm not sure how their draft pick situation looked, but I know they must have lost a lot of draft capital in the past because, you know, they traded for James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to, you know, go all in at one point with KD and Kyrie. I don't know how their pick situation looks now. I mean, then, but now, oh my God, they sit pretty. So whatever problem they might have had in the past, they don't have it anymore. I think they're positioning themselves for a successful rebuild. We just got to see if the Nets can nail their picks now. That's the only thing. They got all the assets, but if they fuck up this time, they know it's on them.
That's very fucking true, I think. That's
because you can't blame KD and Kyrie anymore.
No, God, no.
Setting your organization back.
Not at all. And I know that's, I think that's part of the trade swap. I keep saying trade swap. The pick swap they made with Houston, I believe, was to get a few of those picks back from the Harden trade. So clearly they had that in mind, too, is just what you said of, like, we got to recoup some of these stupid moves we made in the past and get some of these picks back. So I know now the Nets have a couple of those Harden picks back, which I didn't see the breakdown for exactly what they gave up to get those back, but clearly it was pure picks and no players involved or anything like that. So, yeah, Nets kind of load the fuck up here a little bit. So we'll see. And I'm still sitting over here watching the draft, like just the results. I notice a name is not there yet. I kind of want to know what you think. Mr. Bronny has not been drafted yet, and we are sitting at the 21st pick with the Pelicans on the clock. And it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 10 picks left in the first round. Here's a quick question for you. Is Bronny going to be a first-round pick or not?
No, I think we all knew he was going to be a day two pick.
Did we all know that? Because I'm still seeing so many people talking that people should just take a swing. I think what I'm seeing now is people are acknowledging that he's not a first-round talent, but that team should take a swing on him anyway.
He's the most talked-about second-round pick in the history of the league.
Second round pick,
and it's cool. He's gonna be a second round pick. Like, he's not gonna have a bad career. I think if he goes NBA. To the right situation and develops, I think he can be a very good rotational player in the league. But I feel like it kind of takes away the shine from the other players in this draft who have earned the right to be talked about, who aren't getting talked about. I think it's unfair to them because I know a lot of prospects that are better than Bronny James today that should be talked about that aren't getting talked about enough. Like, for example, Jared McCain, who got drafted to the 76ers, who I think is going to be a dynamic backcourt with him and Tyrese Maxey. Jared McCain can shoot the shit out of the ball if you've never seen him play. I think, who's another guy? Bub Carrington, who he got traded to the Wizards, I think, from Portland. Portland drafted him, and he's going to get traded to the Wizards. But he's going to be their point guard of the future. He's a 6'5", 6'6", point guard, can shoot it, can get teammates involved, can rebound the ball. He's you know, got great size for the point guard position. So there's a lot of guys in his same position, in his same draft class, that aren't getting attention the way he is, all because of his name.
I would agree with that too. I mean, I really don't know what team would benefit from Bronny necessarily.
Oh, I know
but,
one. I know
oh,
one.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The Phoenix Suns.
Interesting. Why's that?
They need a facilitator and they need a defender. Those are two things that Bronny does well. I think if he gets drafted by the Suns, he can contribute from day one.
They are on the clock right after the Pelicans, who are taking forever. Unless, oh, no, they already drafted. So Suns are now on the clock. Maybe they take Bronny here. I don't know. But again, I don't think he's a first rounder. I don't think a lot of people think he's a first rounder. But
they're going to take him in the second round.
I could see it. Although they don't.
Someone's going to take him in the second round.
Yeah.
But
that's enough about Bronny. I want to know about your team. How did the Pistons do in this draft at number 5?
Honestly,
how you feeling?
Look, all right. These were my honest thoughts, CJ.
Oh, boy.
When I woke up in the morning and I was thinking about the draft, I said, you know, and I was looking at all these mocks that everyone's doing, and they all had us mocked to take none other than Matas Buzelis at 5. And I said, God fucking damn it. If we take this dude at 5, I'm going to be livid today on the show. Like, I'm going to, shit is getting torn up today on the show.
Yep.
But we didn't do what Pistons normally do and fuck up this draft. We took a prospect with a very high ceiling in Ron Holland. Very competitive wing, can slash, can defend multiple positions, good size. He's like 6'9", but he just can't shoot. And that's all, that's all I was asking for this year from our draft pick. It should just be able to shoot, because we desperately need shooting around Cade Cunningham. I'm praying to God Ron Holland develops a jump shot, because Ron Holland to me is a hell of a player. I liked him as a prospect. I didn't like him fitting in with us. Honestly, I thought he fit with you guys.
I could see it. I could see it.
I thought Ron Holland was going to fall in the draft and go to Chicago, and that would have been a fucking steal. That's what I thought was going to happen. But
crazy.
It's not that I'm not unhappy. Okay, so I'm happy with the draft pick.
Yeah.
I'm just mixed with the fit.
I get that.
Because it's like, who do we play him with? Because he's basically a taller version of Jaden Ivey. So do we play him with Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham, or do we bring him off the bench and give him his own unit?
Maybe. I feel like you kind of have to start him on the bench. Like,
I don't know, but you don't draft a guy in the top 5 to bench, right?
You don't, but in this draft, I make an exception. This isn't a great draft.
No.
Anybody's rights, by anyone's metrics.
We have to take into account who's drafting. The Detroit fucking Pistons.
That's very true.
All right. If a Detroit Pistons player is picked in the top 5, you are expected to start from day one.
That's very fucking true. That's so true. Oh, no.
So it's like,
oh, man.
That's where I'm a little indifferent, but I do like the player, and I really do hope he develops a 3-point jump shot and that this all works out, because I think he had the highest ceiling in this draft, in my
right. opinion. Yeah. And I get the disappointment if he's not an immediate starter too. But again, like, the number one pick in this draft, his pro comparison was Harrison Barnes. Like, that's the number one? So if that's number one.
To be fair to Zachary Risache, that's a terrible comparison.
I really hope so. Because I just see that one everywhere.
Listen. Harrison Barnes in college, for those who've been living under a rock and didn't watch Harrison Barnes play in college, he was a pure slasher. His jump shot was a major question mark, because although he was a shooter, he was very inconsistent. And that showed up in the league. He's known to disappear in playoff games. Just ask the Warriors and why they had to go out and get KD. That's a terrible comparison, because Risache, the thing he does very well is spot up and shoot. So I don't know where the fuck they got that comparison from. I don't know if they just haven't watched any film and got lazy. But Risache, in my opinion, is more like his teammate now, DeAndre Hunter.
Okay.
Where he's a good shooter, can play off the catch, good cutter, play off the ball, can defend multiple positions at a very high level. But his ball handling, playmaking ability right now, big question.
Yeah.
And that's what's been holding back DeAndre Hunter. Will it hold back Risache? We'll see.
I see the Harrison Barnes hit everywhere, but even I was kind of like, that's a weird one. But that was all I knew, was like, if that was the level we were, you know, making comparisons at, like, any of these top 5, we're going to be like, role players at best. So
Yeah, no,
any
and honestly,
draft, it's this one, you know.
yeah, and honestly, this is more of a, if you want to say, role player type of draft for those second, third option type players.
Yeah.
This is what this draft is.
Which a lot of teams need, don't
And
get me wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fine because there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of good players and good talent in this draft. They're just not like blue chip type of players that go in the top 10 in any other draft. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of like late lotto, mid, early 20s type of picks in this draft, which are very good quality rotational guys, which is
build your
perfectly
team.
Fine. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just none of the, you know, all out superstars like where you get one or two of a year or so, but who knows?
So,
you
how
say
do you
about
feel?
Anybody.
So, how do you feel about what the Bulls did?
So, you mentioned Matas Buzelis, who you were getting mocked at 5 and everything. So, the Bulls saw that at number 11 and said, hold my beer. And we got Buzelis. So, yeah. Like I said at the opening of the show, I'm a little not upset about it, if I can put it that way. And it's only because I saw the same mock, too, of Buzelis being like a top 5, top 6 pick. So, getting him at 11, Chicago doesn't get value. And I don't even know if this is real value yet. Just we'll see how it goes. But, like, just from that alone, I go, okay, cool. That's good that we got somebody who is expected to do well. However, the guy can't fucking shoot. What's up with the non-shooters? I don't get it. Defensively, I think he's going to be a great pick for us, especially now that we got Josh Giddey, whatever. But I feel Buzelis is another one of those, like, 3-and-D guys. If he can get a better 3 shot, then he might be something good for us, especially off the bench. But, like, defensively, I think he's got it. It's the jump. It's the outside jumper is fucking busted. So if he can work on that, I think he can get into a starting role. And at 11, I'm willing to take that bet. That guy's, what, a 6'10 wing? So, like, we could use that. We need the youth. We need the length. We need the athleticism. And he's got that. It's just the jumper. I don't know why we're getting these non-shooters again, but we'll see how that goes. If he doesn't have to start and he can kind of grow into that role, I think long-term he might still be in that. If I had to compare him to anybody, Chet. He's like a Chet without all the extra skills that they're all still stripped away. He's still putting things together, but Chet was someone like that. They're a similar build, similar style. So, like, you saw Chet take the next step. Well, not the next step, his rookie year, I guess we're going to call that. But from college to what the Thunder did this year, like, Chet's a big piece of that. Clearly, he's going to be the guy moving forward for them, like, as a big, you know, supporting role on that team. And he's going to help them get a championship, I think, sometime soon. But if this guy, if Buzelis can kind of stay in that same mold 2 or 3 years down the line, I could definitely use a Chet on my team. So I'm going to go ahead and say this is like a wait and see for me. But I am cautiously optimistic about what he could potentially become. What do you think?
So I was aware of Buzelis for quite some time now.
Nice.
And I've been watching him closely because he was hyped up to be a potential number one pick when he came
for
out in the
while.
Draft.
For a while.
And I never saw the hype.
No.
I always questioned his ability to score the ball. But nothing else. Like, he does everything else on the court well. You know, like, he's not a bad playmaker. He defends pretty well. He uses his length pretty well. He just can't score the ball. And that was always my gripe with him. Like, in comparison to Ron Holland, I know Ron Holland can't shoot either. But they played on the same team. And Ron Holland was a go-to scorer. And he averaged 20 a game.
Yeah.
So, like, that was my big thing with why I did not want him at 5 with the Pistons. Because he just can't score the ball, I think.
No.
Unless it's a drive to the rim.
Right. That's it, really.
Yeah. But by no means do I think Matas Buzelis is a bad player.
Mm.
I think the Bulls did get a lot of value with this pick because of what he can become.
Yes. Potential is definitely there.
Yes. But he just wasn't a top 5 pick worthy, in my opinion.
And again, I just think that's a testament and a reflection of just the overall quality of the class. Like, you put Buzelis in a different class, I don't know. Like,
no, he's.
I don't.
Like, if he was in last year's class, he's not getting taken over Jaime Jaquez.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like,
and
I don't.
Jaquez
think he's
went in the late
second
team.
Round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so Buzelis probably a second rounder in that class. So, like, you know, again, if we're thinking adding pieces and potential, I like it. I do like it, and I like that same thing for last few draft picks we've had. So, like, getting there is the thing. It's the shit on top. It's the LaVine, DeRozan, Caruso of it all that we just can't seem to get past. But supporting-wise, future-wise, the Bulls are doing the right things. I just don't know what they do superstar-wise. I don't think they – honestly, in my opinion, I say we got to stop chasing superstars. We just got to stop. Like, because we keep doing the same shit. We keep trying to make something happen, making shit salads out of shit, like with these aging vets, and I've talked about this before, trying to teach the younger guys, and then hopefully the young guys take over. Like, that doesn't work for Chicago. It never has, really. So, like, if we're looking at it from that point of view, they still need to get rid of the riffraff on top and then wipe slate clean with these kind of guys who could get us there, kind of in the Brooklyn Nets mold of just collecting young players and just taking your lumps over time and hopefully flipping it for a jackpot. So we'll see. It works for a few teams, and it doesn't work for a lot of teams, especially the Bulls. So, but I do like him at 11. I'm just putting a pin in it and just going, because from what I saw on his tape and everything, I was like, oh, he's very athletic. But we can say that about a lot of these guys.
He moves well. Yeah.
He moves well, especially off ball. We're talking about off ball players too. He moves very well off ball.
Yeah.
It's when he has the ball where I go, uh-oh. But that's okay. We'll see. I do like the picks that we're making here.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was going to say, the big sleeper I have in this year's draft, AJ Johnson, just got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, I like it.
AJ Johnson, wow.
Okay.
From the Pelicans.
Nice.
Wow. What's up with these teams getting? So I love Rob Dillingham. The fucking Timberwolves got his ass.
Yeah, like, I saw that. Did the Spurs pick him and then gave him to Minnesota?
Yeah, that shit was dumb as fuck.
I was like, the Spurs should have just kept him.
Yeah, fucking idiots. I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
The hell?
And the fucking Bucks draft my other guy, AJ Johnson. Wow. I'm a big fan of AJ Johnson. He's like a 6'5 combo guard, very athletic, can shoot the ball. I think he has a very high ceiling.
Nice.
Man, he can get a role. He could be a rotational player next year.
I was just going to say, like, that's a nice piece to add for Milwaukee. Then they need that kind of shit. So
Yeah. They finally got like someone that can create shots on his own.
Hey, imagine that.
Yeah.
That's what most basketball players should be able to do. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears to the final topic of the night, because that's meaty enough as it is. This Saturday is the big UFC 303. That is going down this weekend. You know what the deal is. We are going to make picks for the top five fights on the card and do shots based on those picks. And this card is quite varied. Different divisions represented throughout all five matches. Actually, maybe two of the same, but most of these very various. So I like that you're getting a little bit of a mix of different classes, different speeds, different styles. It's always great. And some of the names of the card, pretty big deals. So let's see who we got for this weekend. And we'll start with a very interesting welterweight fight between the undefeated Ian Garry and fresh off his UFC debut, Michael Venom Page. That was a big win that we had bet on over our guy, Kevin Holland. But Page was every bit as advertised when it came to that fight. And now he gets Ian Garry, who's just been on a tear, who we've covered Gary's fights his last, what, four or five now? So we're very familiar with Garry. I'm going to let you start first. How do you think this match is going to go, sir?
So I think this fight is going to start off really slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think there already is a lot of hype going into this fight around these two fighting each other. But this fight's going to start off real slow, real calculated. Every time you get two very dynamic strikers like this, it always starts off as a feeler in the first round.
Yeah.
I expect the action to pick up late in the second round. And I expect one of them to finish the other one in the third.
Mm, okay.
This is a tough fight for me to call, because both of these styles, like, they fight the same in a sense.
They
it's
do.
Just one guy, it just looks different. But I think, I'm going underdog here.
Ooh.
I'm going Michael Venom Page.
Okay.
Late stoppage. How is he going to get it done? Footwork and speed. He already has the reach advantage, but on top of the reach advantage, he also has the speed advantage.
Mm.
And so I think he's going to be able to get in and out Controlled the distance very well. I mean, Ian Gary is also really good at controlling the distance, don't get me wrong, but because he's at a reach disadvantage, he has to engage more. Because if he doesn't, Michael Venom Page will just fight behind his reach. So I think Michael Venom Page will use his quickness and find that shot to hurt Ian Gary and get a stoppage.
Interesting. Okay.
And
I
take
like
his
it.
O. And take his O.
And take his O. Yeah, I was going to say, let's not forget about that. That's big on this one.
Yeah.
And I like both these guys, honestly, and you're right, because they're so similar. Styles make fights, like you said, but these guys are so similar, but they're both very unique and crafty with their strikes that even with similar styles, this is still a very exciting fight for me. So I'm very much looking forward to it, especially after seeing both their last fights. Like, the guys, they're playmakers, essentially. Like, these are the types, like, it reminds me of Adesanya, where even if they have a game plan coming in, they might just make some shit up just to knock you out. Like, because that's how they get it done. And we saw that on full display with Paige and Holland. Paige was just, you just could not catch his movements. He was just crafty, switchy. The timing, he just kept mixing things up. So, like, Holland had real trouble trying to keep the timing on him. And this one, I'm actually going Ian Gary on this one. And I'm going to go by unanimous decision. A, because Gary notoriously goes to decision. You know, that's just how he is. He's got really good, strong striking style. He's got nice low kicks. He mixes things up a lot. He's got fast hands. And the reason I'm going Gary is just for one reason alone, momentum. That's it. I think both guys are so similar, and that's why I had this going to unanimous decision. I think Gary just outpoints him barely at the end here. But Gary's been on a hot streak. He's been running through his division. And Paige, yes, he's been outside doing this. You know, I can't remember. Was he Strikeforce? I think he's Strikeforce. But Paige has been on the outside of the UFC racking up wins too. So it's not like he's rusty or anything. But in the UFC, we all know it's the highest competition in the world. And Gary has been going through a lot of really good fights. And he's just been unstoppable for a long time. He's got his weaknesses. And I think Paige can exploit them. But I think Gary will do enough here for a decision. But I am not. This is the one fight I'm like, this can go either way. This one can go either way. I'm going with Gary here, though. That's going to be such
that's
a good
shot.
Fight. That's yeah.
That's
I like
a
it.
Shot.
Oh, you said I'm going to lose already?
Yep. That's a shot.
We'll
I'm
see.
Pretty
We'll
confident.
See. Okay.
I think
You're always confident.
That speed is going to give Ian Gary problems.
Oh, that's, oh yes.
That's really the only factor for me, just that speed.
Yeah, see? And that's where I'm like, I am putting my foot down on it, but I am not confident. But I think Gary can do enough here to get it done. Next up, women's bantamweight with Mayra Bueno Silva facing on Macy Chaison. So this one is also kind of interesting. In this division, you know, things have kind of slowed down a little bit since Raquel Pennington won the bantamweight championship. So this one has got some implications for a future title shot in here. We'll kind of see, though. Silva, a solid submission artist, trying to snag another title shot after she already failed against Pennington in her last fight. So she's just trying to get back to this one, but she's still a good fighter. Chaison, you know, big punishing fighter, one of the biggest ones in this division. So she is hard to get down, but we've also seen her also struggle against tougher competition. She also lost to Pennington, and she lost to someone like Irene Aldana, too. So, you know, both these ladies kind of have something to prove here. Me personally, I say Silva. I'm going second round submission here. I just think her submission skills are going to be on display. I think she's actually underrated as a submission artist, and she might get right back in the mix of things again. Nothing from Macy Chaison, not taking anything away from her, but I just think in the last fight I've seen Chaison, like, she tends to slow up when she's in deep water, whereas that's maybe the one thing Silva has over her is she kind of pushes the gas pedal on her. So I think Silva gets a nice submission, round two, moves on. Maybe not a title shot yet, but overall, this whole division, it just kind of feels like we're waiting for Kayla Harrison to get her shot and take it over. That she's the one that's like the one exciting person in this, other than Holly Holm, which, you know, but Harrison is like the new hot thing in this division, and anyone else in that ranking, honestly, is probably just waiting for her to serve him up. What do you think?
Okay, so about this fight, I would have to agree with you. I got Myra winning this fight. I think, one thing we have to take into account is Macy got finished by Pennington.
Yeah.
Myra lost by decision. So
yes, she can hang.
I also think Myra finishes her by submission. I mean, Bueno Silva, she's a fucking jiu-jitsu. I mean, she's got, what, like 8 submissions in the UFC? I mean, 8 submissions.
Yeah.
Wins by submission. So Like she really does this shit. So I got her by submission. I got her winning pretty easily, man. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't think Shayson has enough for this kind of fight, especially against a submission artist like Sylvia's, because I think she's actually really good at it. So
yeah, I think she's gonna have to knock out Mayra Bueno Silva. Now I don't think that's gonna happen.
Oh no. Myers a dog, so you need those kind of fighters in this division. But again, I'm waiting for Harrison. I think once Harrison gets up here, it's done. Like, she already made one amazing fight happen against premier talent. So honestly, if she made home look like that, I don't think anyone else in that division can hang. Sorry, guys. Harrison's a different breed.
Hey, we'll see, man. We'll see.
We'll
man.
See. We'll see. Well, wake me up when that shit happens. Next up is light heavyweight fight. Now, this one. I'm going to call it the cursed fight. This is a cursed fight. Because this one got canceled and re-signed and different fighters put in it like four fucking times in the last month and a half or so. So this is a fight between Anthony Smith and Roman Dolidze. So if you don't know Dolidze, it's because he's not even in the same weight class as Anthony Smith. Dolidze stepping up to light heavyweight from middleweight in this fight. And Anthony Smith, if you don't know who that is, you need to go watch some fucking tape, because Anthony Smith is a warrior in the UFC, and he's been doing this a long fucking time. He's, you know, kind of on, I wouldn't say last legs, but you can tell in his fights his best days are kind of behind him a bit. He's slower on his strikes. He's slower to recover from defenses and things like that. So I kind of want to know your thoughts on how this is going to go, but this is a weird fight with a short notice for both these guys. So I don't know if we're getting fireworks, even though both these guys are good fighters. But how do you think this is going to go down, sir?
In this fight, I think since it's on short notice, I think experience is going to play a big factor. Since both of these guys are on short notice, I should say, experience is going to play a big factor. Anthony Smith, over 50 fights in the octagon or professionally. So I think Anthony Smith is going to come out and get a win by decision. I think Anthony Smith, he's just a well-rounded guy. You know, he doesn't do one thing necessarily great, but he does everything in mixed martial arts at a very respectable level. And that's why his nickname is Lionheart.
Yeah.
And then Dolidze, like, he 10 finishes, he has 7 knockouts, so he definitely does possess that knockout power. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure his knockout power will transfer over to that 205 division, because as you hold on to more weight, you know, naturally feel stronger.
Right.
So I think the power will transfer over. He lost to Vettori, Marvin Vettori.
Yeah. Yep.
And he lost to Imavov, I think that's his name. And I bring those two names up because I feel like those two guys are on the same level as Anthony Smith.
That's fair. Very fair.
And so if he's losing to them, I'm sure he's going to lose to Anthony Smith in a higher weight class. So give me Anthony Smith, probably 2-1.
I can see that. Okay. And honestly, I'm going the same. It's really the same exact answer. It came down to experience factors. And Anthony Smith is this is almost his 60th fight. He's approaching 60th fights here. So that by itself to me goes like, this is a dog. This is an old warrior who just will not give up. And normally guys like that, when you get to the end of that career, is when they're starting to get knocked out a lot. I don't see that happening with Smith, at least here. Yes, Dolidze does have a lot of power in those hands, but it's the step up to the weight class in a short amount of time. A short fight by itself is already fucking tough. A short fight going up a weight class is even tougher. Against somebody experienced at that division, I don't see how, unless Dolidze catches him with a knockout, I don't see it. Smith knows enough and is experienced enough to make this go a full 3 and get a decision win. So that's my vote, is Smith by decision. And I'm just going to say it'll probably be a good fight, but don't expect pretty much anything to change after this. This fight, I don't think, does anything for either guy, no matter what. Even if Dolidze did win, I don't think it actually does anything for him, beating Anthony Smith here. So it's a fight, but I'm going to watch it for the fight aspect, not for the repercussions of it.
I really wanted to see Carlos Oberg fight.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I'm mad that he wasn't able to fight, but I really wanted to see Oberg versus, it would have been Jamal Hill.
Yes, I remember. That
fight would have been a banger. Oh,
that was the one.
God.
That was the one I wanted. And yeah, it's not happening, but maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Hopefully that gets rebooked, because we need to see that shit.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that shit. But yeah, this one I think will be good, but not much from that. Moving on to featherweight.
Yes.
And we got Brian Ortega and Diego Lopez. Now, Brian Ortega, for our fight fans, pretty well known for his submission games. Got 8 wins from submission. So the guy knows how to put your ass to sleep. And he did fight Yair Rodriguez back-to-back in the last 2 years. And he split that series with Rodriguez. So, like, that to me shows, like, he can scrap, but Rodriguez is no joke either. So I was not surprised that they split that series, and they probably need a rubber match at this point. We'll see how it goes. But Lopez, on the other hand, has been getting the job done. Also with submissions, he's got 3 straight first-round submission finishes in his last 3. So he's got strong striking skills on his own. When it comes to this, and this is another one I was a little torn on, but I'm feeling like 80-20 confident. I'm going Ortega here, and I'm going to say, again, another decision. I feel like a lot of decisions tonight. Oh, Saturday night for this one. But Ortega, again, just a much more seasoned in the UFC. And I think the UFC part is where we get lost a little bit. You know, I know there are other companies. I know that people fight around the world and, you know, they try their trade at dojos and everything, tournaments. The UFC is still the world class. And Brian Ortega fights world class fighters. And not to say that Lopez hasn't, but Ortega's just done this a lot more. The UFC at this level, I think, again, that's enough to get you at least a decision, because you should know how to get a decision win by this point. But don't get it twisted. Lopez can put you out. It's just that simple. Ortega, though, is no joke. The guy can take a punch. I think he's got a good chin. And I feel like he will do enough to get a win here. But what do you think?
Man, this fight might be fight of the night.
I hope so.
I think these two match up very well against each other, because they both possess knockout power and they both are very good submission artists. But I think Diego Lopez is going to win this.
I knew you were picking Lopez.
And although Diego Lopez does not have the same amount of UFC experience that Brian Ortega has, Diego Lopez has 30 total fights to Ortega's 19.
True.
So he's been there. He's experienced enough in fighting as a whole. I think that's very important. He's done this fight shit 30 times in the octagon or in MMA. So that has to account for something.
Absolutely.
One thing I really like from Diego Lopez in his style is the way that he gets after it with the hands. He has knockout power like no other. The first shot he lands on you could put you out.
That's true.
Sadiq Youssef, who's a great 145er, great striker on his own, he hurt him right away to start that fight. And he ended up knocking him out in the second round, I believe it was. Diego Lopez is, might have been first round, honestly. Diego Lopez is one of the highest rising star or fastest rising stars in the UFC right now.
I
remember he stepped in on short notice and almost won. Short notice, almost won. He goes on to win 3 straight times by finishes. Give me Sadiq. I said Sadiq. I'm sorry. Give me Diego Lopez by finish. Round 1, getting Ortega.
Wow. Round 1?
Round 1, getting him out of there.
I like it.
We're going to bet another shot on that one, too.
And it's funny you said that, because, like, Lopez is, like, ranked number 14 and Ortega's number 3. So this is a huge jump for Lopez. So if he can get a first-round knockout against this high of a different competition, like, that's big. That's a skyrocketing moment. So I like it. Like, part of me kind of hopes you're right, just because that'd be exciting to fucking see. And I do like Lopez a lot, too. So let's see it. I just think the UFC experience comes into play. But you're right. Let's not discount Lopez. He is experienced. But Ortega has a little seasoning where it matters, too. So that's going to be a very fun fucking fight to watch here. Last is the main event. And this one, ladies and gentlemen, is the epitome of fireworks. Fireworks. The light heavyweight championship on the line with Alex Pereira and Jiří Procházka. Again, now we talked about this on the show last year, about November 2023. And this is a rematch here. And that's Pereira putting Jiří's lights out in round 2 last time. So, rematch happening here. And between these two guys, you're talking 37 finishes out of 40 wins between the two of them. So this is a barn burner of a fight. I can't wait for this match. I think both guys, you know these guys. They both have ridiculous finishing power. They can finish him like Mortal Kombat, boy. So these two create magic when they're in the octagon. Plain and simple. Fajeda, devastating hands. We've seen him. We've seen him. His leg kicks, out of this world. So, and Jiří knew that too. Jiří was eating those leg kicks last time. And Jiří's a big dude, and he was taking a lot, but you could tell that first one almost broke the skin. He's just like, damn, like, Pereira doesn't fucking play. And Jiří is so unique with, like, his elbows, the spins. I love the way he fights. It's so wild and crazy and all over the place. However, it can leave him open. And we saw that in the last fight, too. Pereira is, you don't fuck with Pereira when it comes to striking. So, like, he will wait. And a lot of people give Pereira shit. We talk about Pereira's fighting style. But the thing is, the man is calculated. He doesn't need to grapple you. People give him shit for his grappling skills. It's because he doesn't have to. The guy's the Undertaker. He can put you out with his power alone. So I think Jiří can get open. He hits open spots, and Pereira can exploit that and put him out again. I am actually going Pereira again here by a breathtaking knockout because I bet against him last time, and it bit me in the ass. I'm not doing that again. I like both guys, but give me Pereira, man. I'm saying the third. Third round knockout, gets the job done, and we all clap happily. What do you think?
Man, okay, first of all, this fight is short notice as well.
It is, but I don't care.
These two dudes, oh my God. These two dudes are fucking animals, man. They some fucking warriors for real. So,
yes.
Shout out to these two dudes. I think this matchup is going to be a lot different from the first one because both knows what type of threat the other one is. Both had moments in that fight where they had the other one hurt and very concerned. Jiří showed Pereira that he can take him down. And not only that, that he can back him up, push him up against the fence and land combinations too.
That's right.
And then Pereira obviously showed he can put his lights out at any given moment. So he better be careful when he's coming in to throw those combinations.
I never forget that one, man.
So this fight is going to be very, very calculated. It's going to be one of those, like, it's not going to be a combination. It's going to be a counter to something. It's going to be a slip, hook, I don't know, uppercut, a flying knee, something. Something. It's going to be a one-shot type of fight.
I can't wait.
I don't know what round is going to be. It might be early in the fight. It might be round one. We don't know. But someone is going to get finished.
Mm-hmm. Almost guaranteed.
And since you and Alex, I really want to pick Jiří.
I know you do. But be smart.
But I actually think Alex is going to win. I actually think Alex is going to win, though. So I'm not going to pick Jiří because I can't pick something I don't believe in.
There you go.
First time around, I picked Alex. Second time around, I'm going to pick Alex Poatan Pajeda again. I think he finishes Jiří again. But, man, Jiří is still a beast.
Absolutely.
Don't get me
wrong. I would never talk shit about that man. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's a beast.
He looks like an actual samurai just walking around. Like, I would never. But, yeah, man, I'm expecting some highlight reel knockout. That's why I'm, like, giddy about it. Like, because the last time it was highlight. Oh, was that knockout of the year? I can't remember. Oh, no, that was a different one that was knockout of the year, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was Adesanya knocking out Pereira.
That's probably one. Yeah, that shit. See how Pereira's always part of the magic? The guy's on just the tear of his life right now.
Circle of life.
Oh, man. And he's been going crazy. And again, I'm going Alex because, like, he's beaten, what, like, four former champions in his last, like, four? Like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. Like, the terror of a century. So I can't bet against that. I refuse to bet against that again, man. My liver can't handle that shit. So, okay, we'll see. We got a couple of differences in our picks this time. That's always fun.
It's just Lopez, Ortega, and
Paige.
MVP.
Yeah, that's three out of five. We got different.
No, two out of five.
It's two out of five?
Yeah, two out of five.
I got Gary, you got Paige. We both have Silva. We both have Smith. I have Ortega Lopez. Oh, yep, you're right. Two out of five. But still, could be fireworks. We'll see. William, last words for your adoring fans, sir.
Fuck. So
you forgot your last words?
I did, man. Fuck, I had all this shit planned out.
Make some shit up.
Man, listen, y'all. Like, I had all this shit planned out. Like, look, this is what I'm going to talk about today. And then the draft came on. I got home. I had two Big Macs, a large fry.
Two Big Macs.
Yeah. Two Big Macs and a large fry.
And then you got fried? Isn't it supposed to be fried and then eat that shit?
Oh, well, that before and then that after. So,
oh, that before.
And then it just slid my mind.
That's okay.
But
you don't always have to have last words, you know. We just say bye,
man. But those are my last words. I just wanted to let y'all know.
Hey,
that I had something planned, but then I got high. Then I got high.
Karaoke song. That's a Big Mac. Big Mac sitting in your brain, eating away at shit, man. I should know by experience. That's exactly how I feel after a Big Mac. Brain dead, but kind of worth it. Brain dead but happy.
Yeah. Try two of them. Try two of them.
I like not getting a coronary bypass, so I'm good. I'm fat enough as it is. I need
but you'll
to lose
be
more
on
weight.
Cloud nine.
Literally, it's called heaven. I'm good. I'm good there. You know my last words, people. It's where you can find us, where you can find your boys. And you know where that is? It's the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, on Facebook, at Gmail, and at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. So we have all the options for you. We're trying to get more options for you as we work on it. The more we add to this show, the more we add to our game here, it just means more content for you. So make sure you're clicking all the links, you're sharing, telling your friends, your mom, dad, your bald-headed granny, like I always say. Tell them all. Come see us. Come see us next week. See us the week after that. See us every fucking week. Have us with your morning coffee. Have us with your looking late-night dinner and your tacos at 2 in the morning. That's all the times you can be listening to the Bank Bros. So that's when you should be listening to us, because we want to hear from you. We want you to fill up that Gmail so we can answer your fan questions. We want you to send us photos. We want you to send us your weird shit so we can talk about it, especially during the summer, because trust me, folks, we're scraping the barrel when it comes to sports news. So we'll keep pumping along, but we'd like to pepper things in with just life stuff. So send it to us. We'll talk about it, because we have no shame on this show. It's all love. We like having fun here. Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
But until next time, folks, Bank Bros are in your city. We are here for you as we always are. And you can bank on it. Peace.
1, 2, 3.